Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am so pleased to be here with you today. Of course, I'm your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have some amazing guests. I have the opportunity to meet some new friends, and also we have a returning guest that you've seen here before. This is his third appearance, and each time he comes, we learn from him, we laugh from him, and we have a wonderful time. So before I go ahead and introduce our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to support the show. That's right. Go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone you know, someone in your network, some friend, someone you need to text, tweet, inbox, post on your social media, share the show, but let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. Maybe they're interested in being an entrepreneur or starting their own business, or with today's climate, they may be a job seeker looking for a new job, and we have some information that can help them. So go ahead and share the show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So our first guest today is, like I said, a dear friend of mine. I follow him on social media. I always stay up with what he has going on, and he's been here before, Mr. Mark Hirschberg, from tracking criminals and terrorists on the dark web to creating marketplaces and new authentication systems. Mark has spent his career launching and developing new ventures at startups and Fortune 500s and in academia. He helped to start the Undergraduate Practice Opportunities Program, dubbed MIT's Career Success Accelerator, where he teaches annually at MIT, and he's going to talk about his new book, The Career Toolkit. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back on the show. I'm super excited for 2021. I hope it's going to be a much better year for all of us. And certainly as we look forward to the year, as we think about our own individual jobs or our businesses that we own and run, 2021 is going to be a very different year than last year. And so we need to go from the chaotic, responsive, you know, let's just figure out what's going on here in 2020, where we're all just trying to keep our heads above water, to now how do we grow and promote as things start to get back to normal later in this year? And so this is a time to really reflect and take a moment and say, what do I need to do to succeed in 2021? So of course, there are the general skills that are going to help us always, but especially in difficult times like this. These are skills like networking, negotiations, improving communications among our staff and among our partners. And these are skills we can all work on and develop. One of the key things to remember is you don't have to be the world's greatest networker. You don't have to be the world's greatest communicator. But if you invest just a little bit of time getting better, you're going to get a massive return on that investment, because that little bit of communication improvement is going to help you every time you communicate the rest of your life, which is pretty much every day. So these are the skills we want to focus on. And I want to talk specifically about networking. Now, of course, this has been a very terrible pandemic for all of us. It's been extremely difficult, but there are some silver linings, and networking is actually one of them. Now, I know most people, when they hear networking, they think, no, this is terrible for networking. I never go out. You can't hand a card to anyone. You can't even see anyone. How can I network? But of course, if your mentality is networking is exchanging cards, yes, that's not happening. But of course, networking isn't just exchanging cards. It's about building relationships. And in fact, the silver lining to what we've gone through, if you think about life pre-pandemic, you could never say to a friend, hey, let's spend an hour online talking by video. They'll look and say, yeah, no thanks. I have better things to do. But now we can do that. And in fact, whereas most of our networking is local, it's okay, let's grab a coffee, let's meet for a drink. So you were confined to people within your city. Now we've been able to say, hey, friend of mine, professional connection, who's in a different city, who I otherwise wouldn't reach out to and connect with, this is your chance. And that chance, of course, is going to fortunately go away somewhat once we get the pandemic over with. And we're all going to want to spend time outside and with people locally and never want to see another video call again. So use this time in the first half of the year to go out, to reach out, go out virtually, to reach out to all those people in your network. Take that New Year's song, If Old Acquaintance Be Forgot, and reach out and say, hey, just wanted to connect. How are you doing? build that relationship, because those relationships are going to help you accelerate your business and advance your career.
You are amazing, Mark. I always enjoy when you're on the show. You have so many different points that I want to touch on. And for me, I tell people this has been a time that I've been training for. This is my life. You know, I've been working virtually, working at home for years. So it's not a big transition for me. But I also know if it had not been for this time, the success of the Roundtable Talk Show would never have happened. Never in a million years would I've had five guests who would sit down on a Zoom in a conversation and talk to me if not for this time frame. Before this, people would say, oh, I don't do Zoom. I don't do online networking. I only network offline. And for me, I'm that kind of person when, you know, prior to this, I would join all these networking groups and I was like, oh, I got to meet more people. I have to get out there. And then all of a sudden I cancel all the network groups. I go back in and I remember why I don't run around town. But I also think there would be an aspect of this that we will keep. Meaning I've talked to so many guests, especially in like people, real estate, for instance, they've been able to tell me they've shown more houses or homes during this time period than ever before, because now they're showing the homes virtually as opposed to getting in their car, driving around to different locations and waiting for people to show up, waiting for this, waiting for that. And now they can show four or five times more homes than they did previously.
And, you know, authors like myself, like Julie, like Gary, we, of course, used to get on planes and fly across the country to go talk to people, which was great. It was fun meeting people in person, but you're spending literally hours on the plane for a 1 hour talk and engagement with people. And now you can talk to people in Seattle 1 hour and the next hour in Chicago and next hour in Miami. And so it's gotten easier for a lot of folks. And this is something important that you've pointed out. There's going to be a change in how we operate, right? We're now more accustomed to working from home. We've had disruption or changes in industries. We're going to see a lot more people looking at houses online, even when we can go back in them. And that's how they're going to start. And so all of us, all of our businesses are going to be affected in different ways. Now, the way we capitalize on this is, of course, by creating that diverse network and having lots of people so we can talk to them and engage with them and get their ideas and their input and hear what's working for them so we can borrow those ideas as well and use them to grow our own businesses.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, I'm going to come back to you because, you know, I always love talking to you and we could talk for hours, but I have to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is known across the nation. Everybody has heard about her. I've heard about her. I am going to introduce Chef Jolie. Chef Jolie grew up at the feet of her grandparents, who were excellent cooks. They both worked in the culinary industry for nearly 50 years combined and loved Southern cooking. Chef Jolie spent many summers with her grandparents learning the art of low country cooking, a special style of soul food that derives from coastal South Carolina and Georgia. Good morning, Chef Jolie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you all?
I'm excited to have you here. And I wanted to introduce you after Mark, because Mark and I were talking about this change and this transition. And we all know if any industry has been affected, it has been the culinary industry. We're so used to going out and having dinner and sitting down with our family. And now, I mean, I'm like a Postmates girl. That's all I get to do these days.
Right. I was also thinking about that when Mark was speaking about how different industries have been affected by the pandemic, and you are 1000% correct. The hospitality industry has been severely impacted by this pandemic, and there are so many sectors of our industry that people don't think about. It's not only myself, who's a chef that owns a catering business where we cater weddings and corporate events. The majority of our business is based on people gathering and celebrating things that people can't do. But when you even think beyond my business, and I think about my other colleagues that are in convention business, conventions aren't happening. So then there's the transportation part that is affected. Then there are the hotels that are affected. Then there are the restaurants that are affected. There are the companies that create all of the logo gift bag things that are created. It just really trickles down. Like you were mentioning, Sharifa, now that the pandemic has happened, it has allowed your platform of online networking to blossom. That's similar to what's happened with myself and Low Country Cuisine. I started the company in 2007. In the first 2 years, I did it as a side hustle while I worked in outside sales in corporate America. And then in 2009, when I had my daughter and went on maternity leave, I just never went back. I told my husband that I have to find a way to make a living at doing what I love. I was very great at sales, made lots of money for other people's companies. And I said, well, you know what? Can I combine selling with my passion for food? So I am still a salesperson. Now my job is to sell food. And it's been 13 years since I started the company. And my vision was always to be more than just a caterer, more than just a chef. I saw cookbooks. I saw food products on retail shelves. And luckily, we were blessed that my company just grew tremendously from year 2012 until today. And I kind of lost sight of my vision because we had so many customers that I didn't have a chance to work on the seasoning line that I wanted to start. I didn't have a chance to work on the cookbook that I had envisioned or the cooking show that was a part of my initial vision. But in March, when they said we couldn't have weddings and all of our corporate clients canceled everything for the rest of the year, then I had some time on my hands and I was able to, you know, the buzzword pivot. I didn't think I was pivoting until people started using that word. I was just trying to figure out what can I do to keep my brand in front of customers for the time that things come back, because eventually they'll come back, but you know, who knows when and how. And then this summer in April, we launched the first seasoning in our seasoning line. It's called A Dab A Duya. It's an everyday seasoning that you can use on meat, seafood, vegetables, pizza, popcorn. My grandmother just told me she's eating it on fruit, like plums. And I was like, I didn't think about that, but I can see people eat salt on different fruits. Well, our seasoning will work on any and everything. And we've been doing very well in selling the seasoning. Also doing lots of live cooking sessions called At Home with Low Country Cuisine. And it's just a fun, relaxed time where we start with a cocktail and then we go through recipes. People can ask questions, they can cook along. But it's been really, really fun and really moving towards my ultimate vision of being more than just known as one the largest African-American female-owned catering company in Dallas, which is a great, great accomplishment. However, I see the brand being a lot more. So that's been the plus side, if there is one, to this whole moment to slow down and refocus and recalibrate.
Absolutely. You are so welcome. Absolutely. We have to find the plus side in everything. And I am definitely going to have to order some of your seasoning, because in Southern California, I have friends and family all over the country, but they tell us in Southern California, we're the only ones who do this. Like, we eat tahini on everything. You know, the tahini sauce, we put it on our, I love tahini and pineapples. And so it's like, when you say seasoning, you sold me when you said Southern. Just say it's Southern. I'm like, ooh, I have to try that, you know? It sounds good. I'll try that. I'm going to come back to you, Chef Jolie. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, the lovely Miss Julie Wald. Julie is the founder, CEO, and Chief Wellness Officer of Namaste Wellness. A wellness practitioner for over 25 years, Julie Wald is also the number one best-selling author of Inner Wealth, How Wellness Heals, Nurtures, and Optimizes Ultra-Successful People, released in March of 2020, right in the pandemic. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. I am well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really...
Or should we say namaste?
Namaste. Namaste always works. I published my book literally in March as the pandemic was unfolding. And obviously, as Mark mentioned, you know, all of my big plans to fly all over the country for my book launch were quickly thrown in the garbage, and we had to get really creative about how we were going to begin to connect with people and share this work with people. And funny enough, it was really, the timing was quite interesting, because on the one hand, I thought, oh no, I've been working on this book for so long. I can't believe I'm launching it right now when everything is in such crisis. And on the other hand, the book itself was sort of exactly what the world needed at that moment in time, which is really about a framework for self-care and managing stress and navigating these really challenging times. So the book focuses on four major pillars of wellness that support us throughout all different kinds of challenges in our lives, including the challenges that we're facing today. And really what was quite exciting is not only the relevance of the material, but then sort of the launch pad that it provided. So at my company, we work with high performing individuals, but we do a lot of work with companies, with both small and large companies, organizations that want to support their teams, their employees in managing stress, implementing practices in their lives that are going to support mental health, physical health, productivity, creativity, well-being, and also support community. So, you know, like some of the other people on this call, I've worked from home and had flexibility for a long time, but for a lot of people, this was a huge transition, and particularly for a lot of companies, you know, this created a massive shift in their culture and how they were able to stay connected as a community and as a team. And so very quickly, Namaste Wellness dove in to work with corporate clients, which is something that, by the way, we've been doing since 2003. We were born out of the 9/11 crisis because in New York City, we saw that there were many companies and employees that were really suffering and struggling from the trauma of that experience and were needing support. And so it was sort of this little opening of the door at that time where we stepped in and started providing wellness and support in companies. And then just recently, when this pandemic happened, you know, we've been doing it all the while, but there was a massive influx of customers who were really looking for ways to keep their employees connected and healthy and happy and as productive as possible. So it's been an interesting, very, very interesting time, but a time when I think the work that we do is really important.
I think it's very important as well. But one of the things that I have seen, especially over this time frame with companies, is that it would seem that it's an ask that companies may not even know how to ask for it. They don't know what's wrong, who to seek out, what their employees need, but they know there needs to be some shift so that the employees feel comfortable returning to work or working virtually. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, you know, and what's happened really is sort of pre-pandemic, and these are statistics from Kaiser, about 15 to 20% of employees, US employees would consider themselves struggling with some level of mental health issue. You know, maybe they have anxiety, maybe they have depression, maybe they're seeking help, you know, from outside professionals, maybe they get help from an employee assistance program, an EAP, which you may be familiar with. And, you know, in the fall, that number was north of 60% of employees were concerned about their mental health. So on the heels of this, and there's a variety of reasons, obviously, as to why people are concerned with their mental health, everything from financial stressors to worrying about their kids, to concerns around aging parents and health issues. I mean, you name it, to just an overwhelming workload for many people. And so really what has happened is on the heels of this pandemic, we're having this second crisis, the second pandemic, which is around mental health and really, really concerning. And one of the things that I forgot to mention is that my background before starting Namaste is that I was a clinical social worker and am a clinical social worker for many, many years working in mental health settings, and then kind of overlaid being a yoga teacher and a mindfulness coach and a variety of other sort of wellness practices on top of that, which is sort of where I sit in that sphere of mental health and wellness. So
you're going to help the people get it together one way or another. You're going to bring them back together.
That's the goal.
I like it, Julia. Julia, I'm going to come right back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Gary L. Pope. As a Black businessman, CEO, business consultant, university professor, and author, Polk is passionate about entrepreneurs and why they succeed or fail. His initial book, Why Entrepreneurs Fail to Win, is widely used as a textbook in college entrepreneurship programs. Good morning, Gary. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. I love your little backdrop. It's all bright. Polk, we know who you are.
Yeah. And good morning, everyone else.
Good morning. Mark has been waiting for you. He was excited. Mark teaches at MIT. He was like, I have to speak to Gary.
Oh, wow. I was a man cut from the same cloth.
Yes. Well, I hope you know Bill Ouellette. He and I are colleagues. Bill Ouellette runs your entrepreneurs center at MIT.
I know him by name. I teach there now just once a year. So I don't always interact with the faculty as much as I like. Right. I want to hear more about your class.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me here. And kind of like what you guys have been talking about with the pandemic, I've been teaching online since 2003, was certified by the Cal State system, but I never used video technology in my classroom. So in March, I was with a SBDC and they had all hands on deck. We need people to talk to business owners about the PPP and the IDO. And so I started working with people online using Zoom. And I was teaching a seminar called Disciplined Entrepreneurship, 24 Steps to a Successful Startup. And we use a book by Bill Ouellette. And instead we had to flip it to a webinar. So then I started teaching a class. So instead of having one meeting a month with about 7 or 8 people, I started having 2 webinars a month and we had 20 plus people. So it was amazing how that all kind of fell together. And in my classroom, I told my students, I said, look, we've heard a lot about the pandemic on the negative side. Let's talk about the positives. So I kind of made them talk about the positives. And one of the best positives I heard from a student said, I have so much time at home now, I painted my house. So that was pretty hilarious. So what I did,
I haven't had that much time yet. I don't think I'll get that much time. Maybe one day.
So what you see behind me, PI stands for the Polk Institute. So we decided we're going to start a entrepreneur school. And I did some research. What really got me going, there's $1.6 trillion student debt. And I did a little more research. I found out 15 universities in America are tuition free. I said, wow, of which are 5 military academies, West Point, Naval Academy, et cetera. And their tuition is paid for by the government. And we know they're turning out leaders, military leaders. So I start saying, what if we started a tuition free master level program? We targeted Black and brown entrepreneurs, and we wanted to focus in on what's called social entrepreneurship. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that. They call it the triple bottom line, people, planet, and profit. And so we have launched the Polk Institute Foundation, which is a nonprofit. January 15th, we have our hard launch. We do our first class on February 1st, total virtual. So like you were saying, how Zoom has given us new technology. If you wanted to run a class, you had to find a room, a hotel, you needed brick and mortar, literally. Now with this, We have, I think, the chef, you're in Dallas. Mark, are you local to LA?
I'm in New York City.
You're in New York City, perfect. Julie, you are located?
I'm in Connecticut.
Connecticut, and look, it's like we're in the same room. I think, Sharifa, you're in Southern California with me. I'm in Carson.
I'm in Long Beach. I have to ride over and say hi when we can.
There we go. So, but this could be our classroom. And so what we decided was we were going to put this together. Phase one is a 40-week education, tuition free. Phase two will be where we put them with a launch to a mentor to launch their business. Phase three will be access to capital. Nobody is doing all of these things together because in the classroom, you have a lot of videos out there to teach you how to do stuff, but they're all one way. What we're going to do is have a class where 90% of the class on a weekly basis would be asynchronous, so you're on your own, but for 2 hours, you'll meet with your professor and you'll meet with your other classmates. And we'll do this instead of having multiple classes at a time, we'll teach one class a month. I'm bringing in practitioners to be adjunct professors. So everyone in the room right now could be an adjunct professor for me to teach your specialty with an entrepreneur spin on it.
Well, sign me up, Gary. I'm gonna teach something.
And we are so excited about that. And what's interesting, you mentioned my book. I started my first, I thought it was gonna be my first and last book. And we published that in February, 2019. I had fun with it. I was talking to some friends. I said, why not write a second book, Why Black and Brown Entrepreneurs Failed to Win? And so we started that and we got that published last month in December. Well, we decided to make a trilogy. So in February next month, we're gonna start our third book, Why Women Entrepreneurs Failed to Win. And we're gonna have that out by October. So it's amazing how the Polk Institute is focusing on Black and Brown, but we didn't start this project until July of this year. And now we're ready to launch. And the book coming out was timely, but I can tell you that back in February 2019, when I started thinking about this second book, I was not thinking about the Polk Institute. And so I've been teaching for 29 years, for 17 years at Cal State Dominguez Hills, where I'm at now. And what we're looking at is a master level certificated program. And here's the thing, in business, there are no guarantees. People say, well, Gary, if you give it to them for free, there's no skin in the game. How you know they're going to work hard at it? Well, that's kind of interesting because here's what we're going to do. We're going to treat them like real life. We're going to bring them in. They have to do a pitch. They have to have a selection committee interview. And the number one thing, they must be coachable. If they're not coachable, we can't help them. So that's the big criteria. They take the class. Every class, they write another chapter to their business plan. So by December, they've had 40 weeks of education. Their capstone will be the final business plan. And then in January, instead of having cap and gown and pomp and circumstance, we're going to have a demo day, founders meet funders.
I like that. I like that.
Investor quality pitch.
I like that.
Here's our big hairy goal. Mm-hmm. We want to produce 1,000 social entrepreneur conscious businesses over the next 10 years.
Wow, that's impressive.
Technology gives us that opportunity.
I like that a lot, Gary. What are your thoughts, Mark?
You know, I think it's a wonderful idea. Back in 2008, New York was particularly hard hit by, of course, the Great Recession. And we had lots of people who just, their jobs were never coming back. So New York's Economic Development Council sponsored a program run through SUNY, the State University of New York, where I and other people taught. And it was a similar idea. We got people in and we said, look, you've been spending 20, 30 years doing this. We've got to get you not in these big corporations where the jobs have just evaporated. We've got to get you into small companies. We got to get you to start your own business. And that especially was challenging. It's not that you can't find the content online. As you point out, you can go watch seminars. There's also a big mindset shift because going from a company of 10,000 people to running your own company or being in a company of four other people, it's totally different, right? They're saying, well, let's have the pre-planning meeting for the planning meeting to plan the meeting to have the meeting. Like, nope, that was the meeting we decided 2 minutes ago. And so this was a great program that helped get people off the unemployment line and into building small businesses that, of course, are the backbone of any recovery. So I think it's a wonderful program that you're doing.
Yes. Thank you. Now, Mark, you mentioned the mindset. So I want to talk to Julie. When you spoke earlier, you talked about some of the techniques and strategies that employees or employers can use so that they have better wellness. What are some of the tips and strategies that you can offer our audience?
Yeah, well, you know, first off, you know, we look at really sort of the overall landscape of somebody's life, and we try to determine if they have the basic framework for wellness. And that framework is what we call the four pillars, which are movement, stillness, connection, and nourishment. And so we've been talking about connection, a lot of this network diversity, things like that. It's really obviously important to not only good business, but mental health and well-being. You know, and these other pillars, movement, stillness, nourishment, if you think of these four, they really are the basic ingredients that a newborn baby needs to thrive. I'm a mother of three kids. I know this well. You want to make sure your child is moving enough. You want to make sure they're sleeping enough, as long as they're eating decent enough and, you know, they're getting enough human touch and connection and socialization. You know, chances are, barring any other unknown issues, they're going to be okay. And the same thing goes throughout the life cycle. The same thing goes for school-age children, but oftentimes, at least in the community that I live in, people forget about it early on, and all of a sudden the kids are overworking and not sleeping enough and, you know, eating junk. And so as quickly as elementary school, some of these pillars start to dwindle in our lives. And then, of course, as adults, oftentimes, you know, there's just major holes in our self-care framework. And so the first thing we do is we ask people to think, you know, how are you in these different areas? Are you moving consistently? Are you getting enough sleep, enough rest, enough reflection, enough downtime? You know, how are you nourishing yourself, not only with food, but with music, with art, with other creative endeavors that fill you up and nourish your spirit? And lastly, you know, how connected are you? How's your network diversity? Are you connected to a variety of different people? Are you maintaining the relationships that are important to you? Are you having authenticity in those relationships? And so oftentimes when we look at the landscape of our lives, we notice that some of these pillars are stronger and some of them are weaker. And that's a good indication as to where to begin, because behavior change is actually quite challenging. And so it's not so easy to say, oh, I'm going to do all of these things and then I'll be healthy. Much easier said than done. And so one of the things we say after we sort of identify where the area of growth opportunity is, you know, then how do you start small? So for example, if you notice that, you know, movement is an area that is just not, you don't get enough movement. You're not exercising regularly. Maybe you're just sitting at your desk all day long. You're not even standing up or taking little movement breaks throughout your day. Looking at how you can create a really consistent, and oftentimes that means very small behavior change routine that you can do daily. Because the whole key to health and wellness is habits.
Yes.
If we are relying on our willpower, if we are relying on, you know, the winning inner negotiation about should I exercise, should I not exercise, like, we're not really set up for success there. The key is how do you create healthy habits around movement, stillness, connection, and nourishment so that they become automatic for you. It's like brushing your teeth, or for many of us, just picking up your cell phone. It's, you don't think about it. You just do it. There's no negotiation in your mind. Maybe when you were one, you negotiated about brushing your teeth, but quickly that became a habit and you realize that's a non-negotiable. Well,
yes.
Yeah. So the bottom line is then, you know, sort of picking the area and then starting small. And starting small might mean, you know what, every day I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk outside to the mailbox, and I'm going to come back in, and yes, I'm going to commit to doing that every single morning. And it's very, very, very hard to come up with an excuse as to why you can't take maybe 4 minutes to do something like that. And yes, the, sort of, that's why the smaller the behavior enables you to do something consistently. And it's the consistency, according to research, on average, it takes about 66 days of repeated activity to form a habit.
Yes.
So the key is to pick something small enough that you are going to be able to do really consistently, and then you build automaticity around it. And then you can start to kind of expand it a little bit once it's
become. I definitely agree. You have to make habits. And I want to talk to Chef Jolie. Thank you for that, Julie. But I want to talk to Chef Jolie. Julie was talking about habits and nourishment. One of the things that the guests have spoken to me about is, you know, they're at home, all of a sudden their children are at home, their grocery bill went from, you know, $200 a month to $600 a month, and all the kids want to eat is junk. What are some of the healthy habits that parents can do during this time frame to keep their children and their families healthy?
Yes, I have heard the same from friends and colleagues about the grocery bill, and you talk about Postmates, it's also the Uber Eats bill, it's also the DoorDash bill, because children typically are going to school and they're eating maybe breakfast and lunch and snack at school and just having one meal at home. Now it's all those meals at home. And that was one of the great bits of feedback that I got when I started doing my At Home with Low Country Cuisine live cooking shows on Facebook and Instagram, was that people began to feel more comfortable in the kitchen to cook things at home. And I really tried to focus on making cooking approachable, using ingredients that you're familiar with. I know a lot of times you watch these cooking shows and a chef is wanting you to get truffles from the mountainside of wherever.
We don't have those in LA.
Right. Not only is that expensive, it's like, does the average person even like truffle? You know, I love it, but it took a while to develop that palate to love it. However, you know, teaching kids and parents how to utilize ingredients that are in the pantry, that are in the refrigerator, quick and easy things. Even my 11-year-old daughter, she had a segment or episode, I should say, on At Home with Low Country Cuisine. And I let her do some of the easy recipes that she knows how to do, utilizing fresh or frozen vegetables. Fruit, she made like a yogurt parfait that she does for breakfast, that's quick and easy. A quick and easy pizza, utilizing like a whole wheat or spinach tortilla, and make a quick, easy pizza. One of the things that we started back offering at Low Country Cuisine as part of that pivot is our gourmet takeaway meals. When we first moved into our location, we had gourmet takeaway as a part of waiting to build clientele, where customers, we'd have a special of the day and you come pick it up, just like if you have Whole Foods where you live, those packaged meals that are nice and beautiful and you just go home and you pop it in the microwave and heat it. We started offering that because I've heard people talk about, what are the kids going to eat? You know, so not only do we have regular adult menu with vegan options, keto options, and what have you, we have gourmet takeaway options that are kid friendly as well. And I think it's also important, my daughter has been virtually learning since spring break. It's like they went on spring break, she was in fifth grade, and they never went back to school. So now she's in the halfway through sixth grade, but she's been home all this time. And I've been talking to her about making a schedule to eat, because she's very independent. She's, I have no idea where she gets all that from, but she gets herself up and she does her schoolwork and she's finished. And I asked her, well, have you eaten today? No, I haven't eaten yet. It's like, you need to get on a schedule. Make sure you eat something for breakfast, even if it's just a smoothie. Make sure you eat something for lunch, and make sure you, you know, at least have a snack. So I think that it's important, as, you know, anyone that has parents or children that are in the home that are virtually learning, is to bring them in the kitchen, show them things that they can make on their own that are safe, you know, if they're, you know, at the right age, and also remind them to eat on a schedule, similar to like what they did at school. So they don't get stuck in this rut of sitting in front of the computer all day and not coming up for air and eating one meal,
a day.
Or just being so starving that they just down a sleeve of Oreos because that's the quickest and fastest way to solve the problem.
Yeah, get them in the kitchen. And then I think that it also, you know, my daughter went to Montessori school. I also had a bit of Montessori education as well throughout my education. And I think that you can still be teaching math and organization and planning by getting them in the kitchen. There's a lot of math, basic math. Sometimes it gets difficult when you're trying to take a recipe from 10 people to 200 people, but they aren't going to do that. But the point is that they can still be learning. You know, they're going to need these skills as they get older and as they become adults to take care of themselves and also just the basics of learning and planning and taking care of themselves.
Absolutely. Now we're over here, we're trying to have wellness while we're maintaining our nutrition. But you know what? There are so many people, some of our viewers are trying to figure out how to eat and not in the physical food sense, but in, okay, how do I pay these bills? Mark, you have some advice for our job seekers.
So for job seekers, remember, of course, that I'm going to go back to networking because I think that's going to be a big theme for 2021. So many people say, I need a job. It's time to network, right? It's time to call everyone and call on those favors and get a job. But of course, the people we can call on most are people we've known the longest. You need to build that network before you use it. So don't just think about, okay, I have to get a job. Now I start networking. Build that network today. If you think about your friends, if you needed to borrow $1,000, does that come from someone you just met yesterday? Or does that come from someone you've known for 15, 20 years,
Great point.
When you ask people for favors, the bigger the favor or the more help that you're going to get, it's someone who knows you better, someone with whom you've had a stronger relationship. So you want to be building those relationships continuously. But I'd say, especially now, given the likely changes that we're going to see later this year, and this goes back to Julie's point that we need that social interaction, especially as the winter comes and as we're going to be we're seeing the spike again, we're going to be inside more. That social interaction is necessary to nourish us emotionally as well. So it serves two purposes. And you should be thinking, hey, you know what? I used to spend 30 minutes a day driving to work. I have 30 minutes free now. What if I use that time to twice a week have a virtual coffee? When I wake up in the morning, I'm just going to tell my friends, look, twice a week, just from 8:30 to 9:30, I'm going to just be reaching out to people and let's just have a virtual coffee. And it's not necessarily about, oh, I'm having coffee with you because I need a job. It's let's catch up. What's going on with you? And you're building that relationship. So 4 months, 6 months down the road, when you say, hey, you know what? I would love an introduction here. It's not someone you haven't spoken to in 5 years. It's someone you spoke to a month or two ago. So build those relationships now, nourish that emotional connection, strengthen your network.
Absolutely, absolutely. So between the four of you, we've had a long enough relationship so I can get 250 from each of you, right?
Absolutely.
Gary, what were your thoughts on what Mark had to say? Because I know there's some aspect of job, but then there's also people who say, you know what, let me use this as an opportunity to be an entrepreneur. What are your thoughts, Gary?
Well, I like what Mark was saying, and he made me smile because I was a banker for 10 years. And one thing that entrepreneurs do wrong is that they don't reach out to the banker earlier enough. So Mark made a comment, build it before you need it. When you start your business, you should go in and find a bank and ask the manager. I'd start at the top. What do you do for businesses? I don't need anything now, but I want you to know I'm going to start a business and here's what we're doing. And I like to know, do you have merchant services, card services, just ask general questions, not lending necessarily, because like Mark said, if you need money from me and I know you for 6 months to a year and you've been in my bank, then I may more aptly give you that loan versus you just walk in off the street. But, you know, I think that who you know matters. We all know that. And a lot of us don't always take advantage of that. But I just want to echo what Julie and Chef Jolie said, because Julie talked about taking baby steps. And that's so important because sometimes, you know, we teach org behavior and management, and that's a big shift, but doing a little thing. And then Chef Jolie talked about teaching her daughter these things. If we can teach our kids young to think this way, now it's not such a big shift. But I remember I was going through, one of my clients had this program, this powdered juice, and they said, have a clean meal. Clean meal? What's a clean meal? My family's from Texas. We didn't have many clean meals in Texas. So, but that's a whole paradigm shift that I'm in my 50s asking to change my whole eating habit. But if Chef Jolie is telling me about good stuff when I'm a kid, now that makes it a lot easier because what Julie said, it all resonates. So here's the thing. Entrepreneurship touches all of us. And we're going to have one of our classes that will be unique is that we have a psychiatrist who's teaching mental fitness for entrepreneurs. I don't know if you heard about the founder of Zappos died recently. And maybe it was kind of suicide, kind of crazy. He was doing some drugs and stuff, but it was a mental fitness issue. And we're not talking about wellness per se, we're talking about fitness. And I think that's what Julie talks about. So all of what we've said today really fits into the entrepreneur space. When I first started teaching, instead of teaching my students how to be an employee, I taught them how to be or think like an entrepreneur, think like a president of a company. And so when you're solving problems, think big picture. So yes, some of us will have jobs, but I'm not really the activist type to be out in the streets. So what I want to do, I want to show them how capitalism can really make a difference. We can find financial wellness. My last assignment at B of A, I was in Beverly Hills for 2 years. When you see people in Beverly Hills, the normal people like us are entrepreneurs. You know, you have your Hollywood actors and your lawyers and your entertainers and athletes, but the regular people are entrepreneurs. And we have four entrepreneurs in the room, but Mark, I would love you to come up and teach a networking class because we don't have an elective for networking for entrepreneurs, but you're so right. And that's why I wanted to put out my information because I was with BNI Network International, world's largest networking. I learned a lot about networking, but it's really about reaching out. And I'm going to do your virtual coffee idea, Mark, because that is a great idea. What I love, and Sharifa, you can appreciate this. We don't have to drive in LA traffic now.
Yes.
We can have clients in West LA and Santa Monica and be on Zoom, and then I can talk to you in Long Beach, and we're not driving anywhere. So I'm so much more effective with my time. And then Sharifa, you talked about using the internet. It's amazing how technology, if it's used the right way, COVID-19 could be a blessing more than we know.
Because there's a blessing in every curse.
Given a lot of opportunities. So many people in my class are saying, because I'm at home, I don't want to go back to work. I want my own business.
Yes.
And
yes.
Really, you mentioned when you were on maternity leave and you never went back and that thing. And right now is a great time to be an entrepreneur. It absolutely is.
It's a great time to be an entrepreneur. Chef Jolie, I wanted to ask you, with all you're doing, what do you do for self-care?
Oh, it's funny. I was listening to Julie talk about her work in the mental health arena. I actually grew up with a mother that is a mental health therapist. And that has, at growing up, it drove me crazy because we had to talk about everything, you know, talk about what's going on and how do you feel. She never let us answer a question with, I don't know. So growing up, that got on my nerves so much. However, it's really served me a lot as an adult and as an entrepreneur because not that I have any of the accolades or degrees that my mother has or that you, Julie, may have. However, I have a different understanding, I feel, of people more than what they may present on the surface. I think that my upbringing and being around my mother has really given me just a little bit more of the ability to give people grace when they present certain things in a certain way. Not that I, again, can diagnose but it has helped me see people in a certain way, but it's also helped me be able to see and understand myself and ask myself questions and to deal with my own anxiety and the times where I've had to deal with depression. So to answer your question, whenever I'm feeling that I need to take a moment to, I started using this word recently, recalibrate. I don't know where it came from as an adjective to describe myself or what I'm doing. Whether that is talking to a therapist, I've had a therapist for the last 10 plus years. That's not my mother. That does not work. although I talk to her often and ask questions and bounce ideas off of her. She actually does work in our company as our team development director because work-life balance and mental health is something that's extremely important in the world. However, it's very important in the workplace. And Julie, you touched on that a lot. And the pandemic, being in a smaller company, I have 8 full-time employees and about 20 or 25 or so part-time and 1099ers, bartenders, servers, or what have you. The pandemic really, really feels like it hits so much closer to us, to our small group. So at any rate, just being able to reach out to therapists, practicing meditation. I started learning and practicing meditation about 5 or 6 years ago. Don't nearly do it as much as I should. However, I know when I need to go back to that and center myself and just taking time out. We had a very, very rough end of the year. Because unfortunately, depends on how you look at it. Here in Texas, you know, they tell you don't gather with your family for Thanksgiving or Christmas, but somehow it's okay to have a wedding with 200 people the next day and they don't wear masks. So the end of the year was very rough for us because we catered a wedding where we got a phone call that many people ended up testing positive.
Oh, wow. For COVID. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so can you imagine the trauma and stress of catering weddings during this pandemic, week in and week out? And I'm having to lead my team and, you know, I feel responsible for them. You know, we're a larger group, you know, as far as a lot of small business, I'm not a solopreneur, but we're a small enough group where I know their family members, I know everything that's going on with them. So as I'm marching them into this venue to cater this wedding, I feel so responsible, and it's triggering and it's traumatic. You know, I had to take a step back after this happened to us and really think, because we had 3 other weddings to cater during the time that we were supposed to quarantine, on the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. And I had to make calls to brides and grooms and talk to them about what had happened. And then we scheduled Zoom calls to talk in person, you know, the following Monday.
But I had that must have been very dramatic. I mean, it must have been a very stressful situation. So you have to use and utilize all your self-care techniques. I can relate because I do meditation as well. And I don't do it as often as I can, but I notice the difference when I haven't been meditating. Just like when I don't take my vitamins or whatever, I'm not drinking plenty of water, I start to notice, okay, well, Sharifa, you need to drink your water. You need to do these things because I've fallen out of the habit of doing those things. So I can definitely imagine everybody is going through this traumatic time. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show, because we only have a few minutes left, is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And since we're with you, I'm going to start with you briefly, Chef Jolie. What is your takeaway?
Well, I'll just wrap up what I was saying. You know, you said that a lot of your viewers are entrepreneurs or people who want to potentially start businesses. When it comes to mental health, and I think that someone mentioned that there's going to be a mental health exercise for entrepreneurs. I think it may have been you, Gary. Take that seriously. Take your mental health seriously. Meditate, and you know, take care of yourself. As far as Low Country Cuisine, I would love for people to try out our seasoning, Adapt Aduya. It's available on our website, Low Country. it is Low Country Cuisine. We spell cuisine with a Q. Just think Queen of Southern Gourmet. If there are any viewers that are in the DFW Metroplex, please think about utilizing us for gourmet takeaway, your meal prep. You can curbside pickup, or we can do contactless drop off and delivery. And I just encourage anyone that is thinking about entrepreneurship to go after it. Gary, you sound like you have an awesome opportunity for people. So that is it. Low Country Cuisine with a Q. I'm on Instagram, chef_Jolie_Low Country Cuisine with a Q, and on Facebook as Low Country Cuisine. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Adapt Aduya. I love it. I love it. Gary, I saw you enjoy that as well. What is your takeaway?
Well, I would say that if you're considering being an entrepreneur, make sure it's your passion, because it's a beat up sport. And if it's not your passion, you get punched in the gut, you may quit. If it's your passion, that may be nothing. So make sure it's your passion. And if it is, and if you're coachable, we think we can help anybody with any business. So our email address or our website is poke-ise.org, poke-ise.org. We're accepting applications between now and January 15th. Our first cohort class will launch February 1, and we're looking for people who want to grow a business, but not a solopreneur or micropreneur. We're looking for people with big dreams that want to do 5 to 10 million in sales in the next 10 years, and we want to teach you how to do that. So what we're really trying to do is teach you how to fish, and we know that that's more sustainable, because we want to create some legacies of Black and brown businesses and have third generation business owners instead of third generation welfare recipients. And absolutely, it's all about education. It starts with education, and you want to adopt the idea you never quit learning.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary. We appreciate it. Julie, briefly, what do you have? What is your takeaway?
First off, as an individual, think about what pillar you need to work on: movement, stillness, connection, and nourishment. Feel free to pick up my book, Inner Wealth, on Amazon to do a deep dive into that exploration. If you're a leader or a business owner, small, medium, or large business, and want to figure out how to support and optimize your team to stay mentally and physically healthy, well, and thriving, please reach out to us. We create extraordinary corporate wellness programs. Our website is namastewellness.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn at Namaste Wellness and at Namaste New York on Instagram. Yeah, it's Namaste New York on Instagram. We started in New York. And yeah, I'd love to continue the dialogue. I love what everyone on this call is doing, and it's really inspiring to speak with this group. So thank you.
You are welcome. I'm inspired by you. Namaste. Mark, we've had an excellent conversation. What would you like your takeaway to be?
This is the year for you to really refocus and re-energize your career or your business, whether you're starting it or trying to grow it. If you want to work on some of these skills, such as leadership, communication, networking, negotiations, these are skills that are going to help you do that. You can learn more about my book at thecareertoolkitbook.com. You can see where to buy it. You can get in touch with me or follow me on social media. There's also a number of free resources. So if this is a skill you want to develop amongst your team, so your entire organization can develop these skills to promote your business, or you just want to learn them and know that these skills are learned best with other people, you can download some toolkits on how, free toolkits on how you can develop a training program with other people, whether you're using my book or any other book or materials you want. There's also a free app, because as Julie said, developing habits, it doesn't happen right away. You need to practice over and over. And so this free app is going to give you a daily push with tips and recommendations as you develop these skills, all of which you can find on thecareertoolkitbook.com.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support. We appreciate you watching. We appreciate you sharing. But please do a little bit more. Visit our guests. Visit their websites. Pick up a copy of their book. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. Send them a text. Send them a tweet. Send them an inbox. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone stay safe and be blessed. Bye now.
Thank you. Goodbye.